Dr. Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
podcast while walking. I want to cover some of the practical projects that I've been doing. Now, recently I've slowed down a little bit on podcasts and everything because I've been a little bit sick with a bit of a head cold. It's amazing how much if you're sick it really knocks you off your routine and all your goals and that type of stuff. And also we've had quite an event of our pet rabbit being put down yesterday. We had a big thing saying goodbye to the rabbit and all that type of stuff. So I've just been a little bit off sorts. Now, the general idea is that by focusing on practical projects, I can build up an inventory of things. I think in general, g'day mate. My skills don't show up instantly. They're sort of accumulative skills. And then you've got the social aspects. So you've got the sort of short time, high social interactivity, whereas I'm sort of longer term, lower social interactivity. So therefore, the long term projects allow me to build something up and problem solve. Sort of solve at different layers. One of technology strategy, i.e. what's the market need, what's the gap, what should we do, and sort of implementation strategy. And so that's where you get the concept prototype together, and in that concept prototype you pull out and put in units which become from the concept to a beta prototype, eventually to an alpha prototype. I think we're getting towards a beta project, a prototype here. So that being said, the gap that I could see is in teaching quantum mechanics and making angular momentum real. And angular momentum is the currency of quantum mechanics. So light is quantized, all light is quantized. One, zero, minus one. Zero is no net transfer, the speed zero, it's actually staying within the atom. One and minus one is left and right circular polarization. Now of course, there's such a thing as called the Poincaré sphere, which allows it, you can mix these up to get any combination of a polarization of beautiful things. That's something well beyond people's insistence that light be simple. And I think in general, this is what the overall all thing is, that people have faith that science, electrons, everything will be simple, and that if only they listen long enough, they'll understand. They don't have to actually make any great leap mathematically or anything like that. So that being said, there's a tendency for to demonstrate various things and things that you can't explain, which are hard to demonstrate, to put aside. And of course, the Einstein-de-Haas pendulum is not in that category. So the idea of this pendulum is that you have a pendant. I think that gives the idea of a object which is going to rotate back and forth, oscillate back and forth. And in that pendant you have a non-magnetic material, but it responds to the magnetic field. It's electrons in it flip. There's it becomes magnetized, and when you magnetize something, there's a slight minor kick to it. And I suppose the very first thing is going off the one example on the internet. I built something which is what I believe to be technically superior. And I had put clothes pegs on the top of this, and then it had a huge effect, very great to see. It was a great celebration that I built something that had an effect, but it was most likely parasitical. Parasitic meaning an effect that you is there, looks like the effect, but it's actually not the actual effect. And then I soon realised that the clothes peg, that I just thought through it. This is the idea of a concept prototype, is it a prototype which allows you to process the concepts. So with this concept prototype, I've got to really pick myself up because I've got a limited amount of exercise time available. I've got to really push myself. Sorry about this. Yeah, so these things is that essentially if you imagine you've got a compass needle and you're looking down on it and you suddenly turn north to south and south to north, that needle will re-point the south, will start to point to the north. The south map then will point to the north. You know, it's a bit more complex trying to work out exactly what's happening here. So if I had a general compass, and I had a compass still, and I changed it so the north, the north and south of that compass was changing. Now, of course, the way that it's oriented, it's pendant down, it's the north and south up the top. But if you have any asymmetry in it, even ever how small, that will still be, it'll be still a huge north-south compass pointing up and down. There'll be still a little component of it in the plane. And that component is enough to spin around, so you have to eventually engineer a better pendulum. So, firstly, remove the remove the pegs, place it with fine nylon, and then trying to engineer how, and of course, this pendant I used was not a engineering quality stuff. I could get this high precision, high little annulus. G'day, mate. Little annuli of what's this? They're building the station.
Yeah. We're here. They've been working all night.
It's amazing. Obviously, getting ready for the election. You know, it's got to be ready before the election. So Suez has got something to.
I think they've got a policy to try to make access for all people with disabilities. And that's what it's all about.
Yeah. So my wife's blind. So being aware of this, and
it must be hard to go with.
Oh no, it's okay. It's just they've got a standard to do. You know, it's been set down, like, as all things. And they just don't bother doing it. So I don't even know the Glenbrook traffic lights.
Oh yeah.
They don't have the dots. So it's got no, they've built it. It's a huge amount of money. They would have gone through quality systems, but they didn't. It's not legally up to standard. Yeah, you know, there's little dots and stuff like that.
And there's this one bit there that they've got, it used to be the crossing, but they've actually made a step in it.
Yeah.
I can drive over that with my four-wheel drive, it's no problem.
Oh yeah, I know, but you have to be an emergency vehicle.
Oh yeah, and that's what it is, but I mean, you wonder, some dickhead's going to try it one day and get
Also, if you, a bit further up, there's a bush and people can, I've seen people look at the traffic and just go bush on Wasco Road and it's, you can, it's, they're not doing it enough, so the grass is still there, so the police won't pick it up, but, because I know I had a legitimate reason to do it, I'd be booked like as
things. I had a funny little experience here a couple of months ago. I wanted to go to Sydney, Parramatta, and it wouldn't take my appetite.
Yeah.
So I went up to the news agent, and they checked it and said, all right, what's wrong with it? Something was wrong with the thing down here. Oh,
yeah, I'll definitely,
you're doing a talkie, are you?
I've got a little, yeah, you don't mind, that's going to be on a radio program. I'm talking about science experiments. So,
oh, okay.
But I have to, I'm doing it because I've had a brain thing, and so I've got to go high up in terms of speaking to pass all the tests. It's a real tough, it's tough. So, yeah, so I have to go for a walk and also fit podcasting in, so I've just merged the two together. And so I'll just pop it in.
You've got a busy life.
No, it's not really. Can I say it's absolutely pleasant? Can I say, in terms of that, I can actually just focus on problems and get them, because I'm off work, I can just focus on problems and get them done. But you can't relax.
No, it's like things can happen to you that's out of the blue. Like 8 months ago, I tore my hamstring straight off the bone.
It would have been painful.
I wasn't very happy though. I didn't feel too much pain there, but when I went and had it all stitched back, that was when the pain started.
Bloody hell.
Yeah. And I don't know what actually caused it. I mean, I do a lot of exercise and do a lot of walking, but
that's going to be ahead of me.
Are
we? I'm going to have the exercise, whatever it is, hamstrings ahead of me in the future, I'm sure.
The trick with them is not to do them fast, just slowly do them.
Far out. Oh, shit, crap.
If you do them really quick, that's when the trouble starts, because the muscle, unless it's, if it's warmed up, it's okay.
All right.
But if it's cold and you're doing that sort of thing, then you start, could be trouble.
Okay. Well, I have to increase the intensity, but I've always been really low, long.
Yeah, well, that's good. I mean, it's just, what happens is that the muscle's not ready for the expansion direction, and it just locks itself, and then it's a tear happens.
All right. Well, I'll go on a nice walk. We'll see. Put it there, mate.
Yeah.
All right. See ya. Okay. So, getting back onto it all. This is the ferrule. It's a fairly large 4 millimeter, 5 millimeter hole in the center of it. It's sort of a centimeter across ferrule. Now this is not ideal because you're the most productive part of your pendulum is the center, and I've got this hollow, but it's sort of a trade-off. So, I know in future, I can maneuver this. As the guy is saying, they're working like hell on the station up here. Probably packing up for the day, I suppose, having worked it right through the night.
Today?
I'm not sure. Oh, yeah, that guy up there said they work right, didn't
they?
No. It's a lovely, fluffy dog.
Yeah.
So, you've got kids, have they? Because I love that dog.
Yeah.
They do. Yeah. Okay, well, I've got to go.
Yeah, yeah. Enjoy your walk.
Yeah, thanks, mate. Okay, so the idea is that you've got to get your material centered, and how I did that was that I think as you probably, if you knew, I drove my wife off to this meeting in Croydon Park, and I went for a quick walk around Croydon Park, and there was a fishery shop. And I looked there, and I began to see these things, and they had what we would call a ferrule, but this is a bead, a squishy bead, and some fishing line, and bits of soft steel, soft metal, which the guy checked wasn't magnetic, where you can thread the fishing line through fed it back, and then crimp it. It's called a crimp, I think it's called. And so I got this, and this allowed me to mount a piece of the fishing line right through the center. So the squishy little balls took a while, and it took me a while, because these balls are, I don't know, 50% bigger than the diameter, but you can squish them down, and you've got to squish them down with the thread through it, so the holes in the center, as best you can by eye. Now, it will improve on all of this. Going up the slope here. Interesting that guy. Well, unfortunately, I've never snapped a tendon. So I've stretched my cruciate. Not the cruciate limits, the feet ligaments there. Look painful. Okay, so you can push it in and just pressure and rotating it back and forth. Oh, through the hill here. Get it in, and using some fishing tackle, you can actually mount your barrels. Oh dear, foot path closed. You can be quiet. Good morning. I'll get something done. Yeah, you can actually mount the ferrules up, and firstly, when I mounted it over a couple of hours, I don't know quite how it happens. Yeah, they'll my godfather, they'll inch their way up. Wow. They'll inch their way up. G'day, mate. Okay. Yeah, they'll inch their way out and pop out. So, or go off center. So you have to put them in. Look at them for a while, and sorry, I look at them for a while and then sort of poke them back in. This sort of really took it up to the next level, because there's a couple of things going on. In the concept prototype, it was shaking like the bejesus, you know, not the scientific instrument. So clearly not a thing to show. So I've sent an email off to a couple of my professor friends, and look, they never email you back. But you sort of have to say, oh, well, I'm in the doldrums, sort of out of the main play. And so people have to go through the effort to think, oh, what am I going to say this step? But they don't reply, so that's okay. But nonetheless, fortunately, not publishing, calling the press, you sort of want to, realizing, oh, it's a long way to go. So this is making it a good pendant is key, and I've got up, and just finish that off. Then I realized that this thing is damping the actual soft squishy ferrule, is damping it, the spin of it, and so I put epoxy resin at the top, which is we call araldite. Now I had a pack in a drawer from repairing, would you believe, car keys. I don't know if you ever have car keys, which over the years, apparently it's my fault that they you know, the housing breaks. And so initially I would repot them, but even then they would break. So obviously it's me, my fault, as it will be explained by my children. It's your fault, Bubba. Sort of like this sort of nightmare of, I don't know, Charlie Brown, where the teacher says something, you can't quite hear what they're saying. You know, it's not nice. But just finish off the car key thing. And then I worked out how to rebuild car keys using cable ties. Sort of across braces of table ties, a bit like a German Meinhauser, whatever it is. Those leather breeches and the little shaving brush tuft, those braces. So you can do that. So I had to actually go to the expense of buying some more epoxy glue. Like I mentioned, this I'm trying to keep the expense down. I might spend $10 here or there. I'm got an upgrade of I think another $6 thing I want to buy, and sort of try and keep it low. And the most expensive thing here is the copper. It costs $11 for a reel of copper, and I need 3 reels. So I've got to work out a way. I might see if I can, I don't know. If I ask anyone to do anything, it's automatically a fortune. But to wind your own copper. So I need to rewind my, so that's the most expensive thing in this rig. Now the, obviously this has got down to, what's required. Now the thing is the switching of it. When you switch it with a mechanical relay, you want to the current to reverse, the field reverse, there's this dead time where there's no field whatsoever. So it's like switching on and off the field. And if you've got any asymmetry, it really picks it up. So this is the advantage of a concept prototype, in that you're doing everything bad, and so you're forced to solve all the problems. Whereas if something's really good, you can have problems. It's actually good to have everything rough, ready, and bad. You know where it's going. So I replaced the mechanical relays with a solid-state relay, and that cost me $8 for a beautiful bunch of solid-state relays, which on paper totally outperforms the mechanical relays, except they don't work with DC. Because, and it's sort of like learning. I don't know whether I was any better at this than reading the sheets. Or hello. Look at the car. Bye. And there's a little baby out there on mother's shoulder, obviously, not just walking across the road. Oh, they're lovely. Lovely when babies are babies. You can just let yourself out. It's through that, I don't know, go through that difficult stage for the rest of their life, I think. So, solid-state relays, and then when I built the stepper motors for robotics, they got the wiring straight. I sort of said, I didn't have this problem, and then a bit of reading, picked up H-bridge, a bit of blah blah, and then sort of by mistake ordered something with heaps of pins on the underneath of it. For the Arduino board, almost accidentally ordered it because it was the cheapest there, and it sort of remarkably had the right power output. I really couldn't drive it as strong as I wanted to, so get that in and then work with it and then see how to do the next one. Well, what my head's sore. I'm now, as I speak, I'm sort of now saying, oh, well, that's how they would have other pins assigned in the shield Oh yeah. Well, so well, something I didn't understand is this concept of shields. That is, you have one circuit board to do one thing, another circuit board to do another thing, male and female pins, and you just stack the boards up together. And so the circuit board, the slave circuit board, is called a shield. Now, So this means a number of things. You can ostensibly start stacking functionality on your board up. Now there's to go forward. So this shield stuff and g'day. This shield stuff allows you to, or the H bridge allows you to go fast as a stepper motor and goes at kilohertz speed. Not it sort of just almost breaks your teeth that you can only drive a board at, so Adreno's got a maximum speed of stepper motors. I'm sorry, having like I do know a fair amount of stepper motors because it's only 1 to 1,000. So the minimum you can get is 1/1,000 of a second. This is basically a robot driver, and you get your DC motor to go forward, reverse, through an H bridge, which is basically a mirrored set of transistors. Now, they also claim to control the power out. And of course, I thought, oh, that would be great, be able to turn it up. Of course, how it does control the power out is that it's a basic switch on or off, and which I remember with H bridges, or like with relays on and off. And how they do is they pulse with modulate, and so what happens is that when it clicks, the magnetic field when it flips over. Well, that's a rather nice. It's interesting day. Sorry, this is the side of this huge TV cabin out of three, and people bought the big TVs. This is before flat screen TVs, and then got this big cabin. It looks fantastic, but it's sort of no longer, it's for something which no longer exists. This is amazing to see. You drive through a rich suburb and people are throwing out the equipment to make room for the latest equipment. They've just got too much money. Okay. The other thing is that this means that your excitation is also a bit like hammering with the relays. It's a bit like hitting it with a hammer. It's just disaster. But with the solid state, we're going forward. So after Einstein, we've got these improvements. And now with the Arduino shield, which you just... what got me is this seems to be a documentation for this shield. How do you wire up the shield? How do you get a signal across? How does it work? How do you the wire from here? And all you do is that it's got a pin which goes into every female socket on the board as you plug it down. So the wiring sorted out, and there's really nothing for you to do. You just wire in your power and wire out your power. Oh, I don't know how long I'm going to last for this. What I might do is I might do a walk to the entrance of the national park, walk around, and because I've got to come back and be on deck to do shopping and other things. Okay. So this allows you to go higher frequency, and with the fishing line you can now be a bit more precise and get it. So I had it at a floating up a 1/2 second oscillation time fishing line, improved thing 1 second oscillation time, but now with the Arduino board, so we're now I've got it at somewhere between it's probably about eight times a second or something like that. Yeah, it's starting to really pick up. So I've got rid of the fishing line. The fishing line's got two things. One is it's got high strength but low torsional coefficient, so I've replaced that with hookup wire. Now, hookup wire is sort of designed to have basic features that you bend it into position and tap it.
Hello.
holds position. Now, what's actually happening is there's a lot of people coming out of the national park because it's going to be too hot later on in the day. So obviously, these people, I think, maybe yet to go on that run, I'm not sure. So the hook wires are gone there. Now, this... So let's review, and then I've also bought a little laser. Now, incredibly, I'm trying to get my head around it. If you go to buy bulk lasers, right, and you have to wait for it to be delivered, that costs 74 cents a laser. You buy 100 lasers, it's 74 bucks Australian, which is really nothing, 50 cents US. And you get a laser, and again, they're Arduino compatible. So it's like I realise that I'm learning slowly, but I'm learning. Whereas the process of discovery is sort of not really happening. So what's happening to specialist people who get paid to go up? So I put the laser in there off the board, fairly simple, so I can move on to angle detect. So this is the concept prototype. There's a bad things are slowly moving out, so I can now spin at a much higher rate, get it at a much higher rate, and then much smaller oscillation, because it's not basically a compass needle. You know, a dipole compass needle pointing around. And there's sort of still things to do. And now, again, having built to this concept prototype to a certain point, you can start to work things out. Now, when you give it a tweak, it will ring down. And g'day. Hi. G'day, mate. It's a bit more like country Australia, where this weekend it's like this. It's more country Australia, where you say g'day to everyone, whereas in the city, obviously, you can't go around saying g'day to everybody. It's just out of place. So the concept prototype, I now need to measure angle. And the issue is that a lot of my equipment has been turfed. This is small equipment, so microscope slides, you know, fell out of box on the floor. What the heck is going to help the children get rid of it? Or, you know, what's this optical fibre here? You don't need it anymore. Of course, this is the various things I do need. But I did find that overhead transparency slide works well. And so your laser beam goes in, bounces off onto the wall. And so you immediately start to pick up that the angular oscillation that you can pick up. And that's your spot size at a distance. So what's the minimum spot size you can get at 10 meters? And which is apparently off a overhead transparency sheet, which is like they're flat, but they're not flat. They're awful. It's not that good, but at least it gets you the idea. And so the next level of the, so back at uni, I'd have no problems. I'd polish up a microscope slide, coat it with, aluminium oxide coat it, put it on, there's the uncle, there's a very nice thing. I'm going to turn around, go back now. So this evening, what is it? Fire danger, very high, but it's not a fire ban. So I think we're safe. Yep, I'll just be quiet for a little section.
Good morning.
G'day, how are you?
Yeah, good.
Just
$8.
Okay, so that's the park. Okay, it's all pretty relaxed at this point in time. Okay, so for $6, for $30, you can buy something from Edmund Scientific. Lambda on 4, sort of, no, that's perhaps going a little bit too much. So Lambda on 4, Lambda on 2, Lambda on 4. There's the flatness, and really, if you've got a laser point, you want it to be flat. You know, give you no phase information over the size of the laser point, so Lambda is more than flat enough. But, so on eBay you can buy a set of mirrors, lightish mirrors, 1 millimeter thick mirrors, that's sort of, you know, sort of, tear-wateringly thick and heavy for a goniometer. What's it called? Goniometer? I forgot what the term is for these sorts of mirrors. So at all points you want to actually start driving the system. And this is good enough now that you can vary the magnetic field on the outside, and you can point it to cancel off the, or you can start to do some field cancellation. Yeah, that's good. So, looking at the oscillation does a smooth ring down. If there's a smooth ring down, you know that there's no coupling into different modes. So previously there was this sickening ring down or mode coupling where it would stop oscillating for a while and start up again. So it would go into one mode. Basically, I was pumping a wobble mode in a really badly made pendulum, which would pump up and then transfer mode into a spin mode, a washing machine mode. I suppose we could call it Einstein's washing machine. So, you've got several things. So you can tell the Q of your oscillator by the number of oscillations in the ring down. So if it's critically damp, it's one oscillation. And So essentially for your ring down curve, which is sort of like an exponential, it means that your loss into so you can store your energy in two ways. You can dissipate it or store it in torsional energy. So this is where I'm slowly increasing the Q, because if you for your effect, so now I've got it going at 10 hertz, or 10 hertz. Yeah, go down to 10 hertz. You now want it to have a high Q, which is high ring. So a bell has got a high ring, whereas a dinner plate has got nothing. The bell will go dong, the gong will go dong, whereas the dinner plate will break and go instantly. So the aim here is to actually start to increase the Q. Now, there's no way. So if you increase Q, it means you're reducing the power dissipation or the force dissipation per turn. And so what it will do is it will, under the field, ring up until the force dissipation equals the force input. So if you've got a high Q something, that means intrinsically low loss, so you'll be able to see a greater angle. So it's now also on a mission to increase your angle. Now there are a few cheats that I'm pretty sure the people in the 60s and Einstein didn't have access to computer programmable solid state switching, which I do now. It just took me a while to get there. So it's all these things, it's impossible to judge how stupid I am, because I'm just basically in the space by myself. So it's so you want to increase the Q. So for your effect, increasing the Q will increase the angle that you see. There's another trick to increase the angle that you can see, and that is to get the laser to come in and bounce off your mirror, bounce onto a fixed mirror, bounce back onto the mirror, bounce off the mirror, back onto the mirror, and say if you could bounce it 10 times, you have 1,000 times increase for the same setup. And obviously that's why you want some slightly larger mirrors. So the bottom line is that for every gram you put on, which doesn't provide torque, every gram you start to put off axis starts to kill your device. But the actual principle of this is mirror. And indeed, I'm just sort of lamenting the... I've got somewhere in a box in the shed kinematic mirror mounts to mount on the receptacle mirror. And so your idea is that your angle of incidence, angle of friction equals the angle of incidence. So if it moves up, you can see that angle being increased. But if it bounces back a second time, you get a factor of 2. So, double, it's 4 times, because it's coming at the... you get a double increase. So if it bounces back and forth, so that's another cheat. And one of the things I found is that you wouldn't think of it, but mounting your piece of overhead projector transparency film on the device to superglue the whatever it is in the superglue goes up and it doesn't frost inside it. It distorts your surface. Not you can see it. It looks perfectly okay, but for the laser you can see it doesn't reflect as well. But then again, this is production prototype. I know that down the track I'm going to move away. Obviously this is coming along, and I think if anyone who's listened to this would have thought, oh my God, he is not going to achieve it. To be honest, that's the thought that goes through my head, but there's another sort of part of your brain saying, keep on sun, keep it focused, keep on doing it, and wherever you get to, you'll be better off, you'll know what's going on. So I think I'm getting there. Now the thing is, cancelling the magnetic field. You really have to cancel that magnetic field, the Earth's magnetic field. And you can do it roughly with a bar magnet, which sort of held sufficiently far away to reduce it. And there's two aspects to it. One is that you have your device. This is your perfect magnetic field monitor, because if there's a parasitic magnetic field, it's going to oscillate. And so you can actually clock up the magnetic field a little bit high either way. That's what I should be doing. I'll get there. So you can clock it up, and by just using, if you've got a feedback monitor, I've got to work out the exact feedback monitor. So previously when I had full access to LabVIEW, it would be a cinch. I'd mount a camera, look on it, and get it to data analyze the point. I still might do that. You just got to really question what you can do. We've got this magnetic field, and you want to zero it, and really it's absolutely almost pointless zeroing it in the axial position direction, because that corresponds to ultimately a slight population of spin states in your pendulum, and you're not going to detect that. So you want to zero it on the plane that you work in. I should say that for all of this no mucking about, I put the pendulum mid section on a wire, so it's hooked at the bottom and the top. Now, that means that you've got the top wire is longer, and there's not as much yanking torque, so the loss is going to be lower there, but its position is to hold it in position. It's actually torsion from underneath. You want to, from the Arduino board, control a current, and really the way to do it is to actually avoid electronics, which controls power, because we found out that the one thing that digital electronics doesn't do all that well is control a current. Okay, it can control a current by putting out an analog out to a transistor. A transistor is basically a current amplifier. You can control, and you're over resistor, you put the out and you can actually draw the amount. It's very actually quite easy to do it. Makes you think that there might be a way of doing it. But once again, my general feeling is that you could do it electronically, but my preference is to have servos drive potentiometers. I'd like the servos to drive potentiometers, which is sort of your dimmer switches to dim the field, and I'm fairly confident that I've got the maths to do that fairly routinely. So what's happened is that this particular experiment's not squared away, but it's on the road to moving. So I'll leave it on all night just to see something. And that's in general, like when I set up a automated robot factory, closed the door, came at the weekend, and there were just all the products piled up at the Monday morning, as expected. Or sometimes it wouldn't work, but it would send an alarm to come in. But in general, it's good. So we're on the path there, and write up a brief report. I have to really monitor the ring down and start working out how to do it. You want quartz. But quartz is a brittle steel. I can do, especially the stuff that you can solder in, like aquapoire. The worst thing is holding it in a compliant clamp. Now, it's good for strain relief and that sort of stuff, but you don't want strain relief because the idea is strain relief is to handle vibration. So for this, you want to precision solder. And so I don't know whether this means I really don't know what it means. Whether I need a copper washer and a copper disc, full disc, and microscope. But I just don't have the working distance with the microscope I've got to do it. But you want to solder in pure wire, and the advantage of that is that there's less dissipation. So on various points I'm beginning to just you'd call it the engineering phase, from the concept prototype to a demonstrator. So the demonstrator model has got a demonstration prototype is perhaps one step between a concept prototype and a beta model that you can set up. You can actually just show people, and they can actually very quickly pick up the it's a communication tool. So it's a communication tool to yourself and beyond. So I'm back up at Glenbrook Station. It looks as though they're going to make a huge song and dance of this. This is going to completely change the look and feel, hopefully. I don't know what the heck they're doing. Oh no, I think they're just putting up safety boards. They're just beginning work here. really wonder what the heck they're doing. Okay. So walking along here. Oh yeah, so there's that. Now, the idea obviously is like, you don't have one product, that's it, you have other in the stream. And the other one is the Thompson effect. So the Peltier effect is that you have a system of different grades of wire, different Peltier coefficients, and you drive a current through it, and one side of your Peltier junction will cool, the other side will heat. You put a heat exchanger on the heat side, and you can actually just draw heat away. Now, straight nightmare around here. Interesting looking at least looking at the traffic control. So the traffic control in the morning, they've changed shift. The ones before were in complete brilliant white. They were sort of like priests or priestesses or whatever they are. So these are more like your Tokotoi workers. Everyone's wearing high vis vests and stuff like that. Oh, yeah. So the Thompson effect is basically you get your Peltier effect via the temperature gradient, and this is coming along. I think I've got an effect which I can measure, and so first off is you say, oh well, I'm going to heat up the center and measure the different temperatures on either side, and that's technically difficult to actually do something convincing on that. Then you say, well, I'll heat up and the temperature will change the expansion. So do the calculations incredibly small, so you build up a rig which could ostensibly work under a microscope. That done, and then you realize, oh, I can't see anything, I'm not heating it up efficiently. And so I've looked away to build. So you've got a piece of wire, you've got to heat the center of it and do it there. So this is sort of a double step. Get a pencil, you sharpen both ends. This is a lead graphite pencil. Hook up a power supply to it, and you heat it, and it takes about an hour for all the oil to go from the pencil, wooden pencil, and it's a bit charcoaly and bluff. And then, so you've got still a pencil, and you still possibly use it. We couldn't sharpen it anymore because all the wood's sort of almost in the way to getting burnt. Let's get that burnt. You just take it to your barbecue, light it, and the whole thing burns, leaving you with the lead. And they're sort of got little minds of their own, these pencil leads, because I'm sure they've got microfractures in them and everyone. They're not electrodes, they're pencil leads. And the pencil lead in this respect is a combination of, it's not graphite, it would be dreadful to write with, it's a soft clay and graphite. Mount together, so that's how you get the softness. You just mix it. It's basically a clay pencil. Hey, big day. The construction is a lot different from military construction, because I don't know. Oh, it's hard to say. But the sort of field engineers, everyone's built like brick houses, and you know, they will tend to pick things up rather than get a machine to pick them up. I don't know if that's back in the day. Now everyone seems pretty, almost like sort of again dressed for the office. Oh, there's still the same three or four people in the drill rigs, but it's the whole heap of office administration people about, I don't know what they're doing. So this is a rather nifty thing, and the other thing is that they're, you heat up and become brittle, so you use them a couple of times, and basically so this is, like, if you want a point source of several thousand degrees, point source in the lab, you can't get past this, a pencil and a power supply onto it, if you just want to heating, if you were desperately trying to, out in the field and wanted to desolder stuff, the solder just walks off it. So it allows you to go in the, but this, you control, so it's nice and hot, and you wind it up with wire, and contrary to what you see on the Indian websites, you want the maximum current density you can possibly, the wire can stand, i.e. you've got to have the, with your most powerful current source, or good current source, you want the smallest wire you can fit in. And then you wrap up two legs, the in and the out leg, which the current goes. Now my reverse the current. Now, fortunately, I had a little current reverser for my kids' science set. Disaster, doesn't carry any amps, so it looks like I'll rebirth one of my, the original current reversal relay. I was getting the concept prototype previously, and so you can measure the voltage at the midpoint by, when you have your two samples of wires, you just continue intertwining them, wind them up and spin them around a couple of times, and then take off the tap off the voltage there, so you can measure the voltage there, and then get a potentiometer and zero your voltmeter and watch it. And so it doesn't take much. You can then, if you put your finger on one side, it will increase in temperature, increase in resistance, and the voltage will change. And so you can see the voltage move. And so I'm just a step off from that. It's sort of like taking your time. What it needs to do is, what happens is that when I was putting it together, it was windy, so the wind would cool and get the temperature to vary. But look, there is a definite effect. The cooler wire has a lower resistance, alright? Which you can, means the voltage is the difference. And if you've got a zero, you can get your little $4 voltmeter, which measures 0.5 millivolt. So I've got a better voltmeter in there, 0.5 millivolt, go out, and then of course the Arduino boards, you can buy something, so there's a whole heap of things going up, but this is to measure our practical Thompson effect, and I think the saying in both of these is that there is a craving for demonstrations on the internet, and the stuff you find on the internet is fraudulent. So I was surprised to find the German showing of what's on the Einstein-Haas effect was fraudulent. But you can only get that if you actually built it and understood it. But the stuff out of India showing people with a car battery and a big rod of steel. Okay, well, what the heck? And a blowtorch and a temperature meter. It's sort of like the worst concept prototype. And the thing is, you have to be careful not put that up. So eventually I'll get there. And then slowly working on the stars thing. And we'll see how that goes. And now I've got the next tier of three experiments. And it's all this is, I suppose, good mental stuff, because I have to remember what I did on various days. I must admit, I've really forgotten the second of the second tier experiments, but I do remember one is the Wi-Fi chem lab. Just to, this is where the actual metering sits wirelessly underneath your beaker. So it wirelessly measures the pH of that beaker, or wirelessly transfers so much juice out of one beaker into the other, and the units are safe in that way. So I just really hope there. Okay, I'll finish up now and say hello to a neighbour as I come home. Thanks a lot for listening. I hope it's a reasonable podcast.
Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.